Michael asked me just recently if I would come and share about being a father. And I thought, well, I know everything there is to know about that. Clearly, that's why. No, but in God's kind providence, it's timely in this sense. And I'll tell you a little bit about my own story. My father left our family when I was about 11 or 12. And in just the last couple of years, we had an incident that my siblings and I had to address that really brought back to light some things. But also it showed really how differently the three of us, I have a brother and a sister, kind of processed and handled and how it affected each of us very differently. And so in my own life, I've realized that, you know, some people in that situation feel very betrayed. And that really wasn't me. Some feel like they've been abandoned, and maybe what I'll describe to you is some sort of abandonment, but that wasn't quite it. What I realized in my own life was just the absence, that there was a deficit, so to speak, in areas of my own life, just simply not having a father around, particularly as a man, through my middle school, high school, early 20s in those years. And God was very gracious to bring other men in my life, and I'm incredibly thankful for that. But what I decided to do as I was walking through that so a couple of years ago is I wanted to study in God's Word, really, what does it mean for God to be our Father? But specifically, so I did a word study on the whole idea of fatherhood. But specifically, I wanted to look at how did Jesus, the Son, and the God, His Father, related to one another. So you might be thinking, oh my gosh, you're going to come up here and tell us, you're trying to encourage us or whatever, and you're going to compare my parenting to God, the Father's. That's not going to be very encouraging. Well, I hope that you, if you hear anything, you'll see that our desperate need for Jesus in this. But hopefully you'll recognize this, is that their fatherhood is an essential quality to our God. It's inherent to His nature. And that means something. And as we as created in His image and now redeemed, that might help you understand really how God's made you as a dad. And so hopefully it'll encourage you. So let me pray and then we'll look at the scriptures together. Father, we love you and we thank you that you are a good father, that you do not withhold good things, but you delight in giving us, providing all that we need and abundantly more. So I pray that this time together would not only edify, but it would lead our hearts to greater and deeper worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to look at a couple passages of scriptures. If you got your Bibles on your phone or if you want to follow along, two passages. I'll read these quickly and then just draw out a couple of ideas. The first is Matthew 3. Matthew 3, starting in verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' But Jesus answers him, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Now look over at Matthew 17. Notice what it says in verse 1 of chapter 17. "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Notice that. Of the two times that we hear the audible voice of God in the Gospels, he says the same thing. That this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And then later, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. I want to just draw a couple of thoughts from this. Let me ask a little bit of a strange question. What do you imagine Jesus felt when he heard his Father affirm him in the presence of others? I know it's a little strange maybe to think of Jesus that way, but what do you think? Well, here's some thoughts. What you see is it says, "This is my beloved." Jesus heard that his Father loved him. Jesus heard that this is my Son, the unique relationship that a father has with his son. He heard that his Father was well pleased with him. And that he heard that his Father believed in who he was and what he was doing. Isn't that interesting? Now, I think it might go a little too far. Some might would argue in Jesus' humanity, he needed affirmation just like anyone. I may not go quite that far. I have a hard time thinking of Jesus needing anything. But I think that actually demonstrates the point even that much more. That God as the Father, when he had the opportunity to say anything, he chose to affirm his Son. Isn't that something? Of all the things that God the Father could have said, he chose to affirm his Son. Somebody posed this question about parenting. He goes, "Are parents good parents because they read parenting books? Or are parents good parents because they're the kind of parents who read parenting books?" Here's what I've learned. Is that, yes, it is important to do devotions with your kids. It's important to have family worship. It's important to train your kids. It's important to do all of those things. But what I realize what might even be more important than these good habits and parent techniques and consistency has something to do with the disposition of our own hearts. The disposition of our own attitudes toward our kids. That's what Jesus felt from his Father. I don't know if I'm sure you've recognized this. It seems to me that kids, regardless of their season of life, kids have this like attitude antenna where they can just have a sense of like where you're really coming from, of what's really on your heart and how you really feel about them. And that's what gets caught. So how do we do this? Because golly, I don't know if this relates to you, but my kids can drive me crazy. I got one about to go to Auburn. That alone would drive you crazy. I've got one about, and she has waited to the very last minute to make a decision. And she has gone back and forth and back and forth, and she has been like pushing a rope to get to do any. I got another one, particularly, and she's worked through a lot of stuff, real stuff. But every morning we have daily come apart. And you just had to be ready for the daily come apart. So it is trying, not just simply to keep my habits and techniques up, but the attitude of my own heart toward my kids. So how do I keep my own attitude in check? I heard a pastor speak on the Eighth Commandment last year. And he talked about slander of all things. That there is this form of false witness and a form of slander that goes like this. I think this is true in our marriages. I think it's true with our kids. I think it's true with the way we relate to everybody. He says, slander is this. It's when you take the worst thing about somebody and you reduce them down to that. Now I start relating to the worst version of them. And it's slander because it's a misrepresentation of who they really are. Have you ever been guilty of that? I have. When I do marriage counseling, I can always tell when they say, "You're always," or "You're never." Like, "You never take out the trash, you lazy bum." Like, seriously? Like, never? Like, not once? No, what they've done is they've reduced them down to the worst version of themselves and they relate to that. And it's easy for us to do that with our kids. That we build a caricature to feel like they're this way. And in doing so, that we build a misrepresentation of them. We forget that all that what God has made them and who God has made them to be. That's a discipline, isn't it? Isn't it hard? That's hard. And so, it's a discipline in this to remind ourselves that they are wonderfully and beautifully made. And they're uniquely designed and fitted for God's purposes in their life. To remember that God is indeed doing a work in our kids. Golly, I have to remind myself this constantly. God, are you doing a work in my kids' life? Because some days it doesn't feel that way. To remind myself that He has a hope and a future for them. And then to remember that God is doing a work in them. And then maybe most importantly, remember that my sin and theirs is bought with a price. But notice this. The Father affirmed His Son with words. He spoke it. I can remember the worst and the nicest thing a football coach ever said about me. And it was over 25 years ago. And it is etched forever in my mind. Because he used words. I won't tell you the nasty thing he said. But I'll never forget. We're walking off the field and he told the other coach, "Man, if we had 10 more players like Seth, we'd have a quiet ball team." That's all he said. And I would have run through a brick wall for that man if he asked me to. It's how powerful it was. I believe that words of affirmation are our superpower. And it's for dads, for me in particular, it doesn't come easy, does it? We're using words, and I use this illustration all the time. Encouragement is our superpower. And the guy who wielded it most, I think, two men in my life. One was Dr. Burl Kynard, if you know Dr. Kynard. And two was my pastor out in Colorado. And I remember him encouraging this guy. He put his arm around him and said, "Hey, Jim, I saw you in the foyer of the church on Sunday. And I saw how when those visitors came up, you came up and you looked them in the eye. And you welcomed them, and you let them ask questions, and you had questions ready for them. And then when it was time for Sunday school, instead of just giving them directions, you walked with them all the way down to the Sunday school class." He said, "That was amazing." What did you notice about my pastor's encouragement? It was specific. It was clear that he had pressed in and observed. But most important, it was genuine. Encouragement is a huge power that we have to simply encourage our kids. And then the last thought I'll share with you. And this has been a huge one for me. Notice that the Son felt the Father's pleasure. God said, I am well pleased before Jesus ever performed, ever obeyed, ever fulfilled his mission of the cross. Do you notice that? The Father's pleasure with the Son was because of their relationship before it was about his accomplishment. Think about that. I think that you see that in your own fatherhood, don't you? That there is something about being a dad, about being a father. I remember when my first child was born, I'm sure you did too. It was like a switch was turned on in me. And you're going to experience this, Michael, in just a few months. I did not know I had this feeling inside of me. That I could love almost in a way that I didn't control and have this type of feeling around this little nasty thing that just come out of mama. And I remember looking in there and going, I can't explain why I love this child, but I do. I put it this way. I asked my daughter years ago when she was about five years old. I was like, why do you love your Nana? That's my mom. And I expected to say, well, Nana's funny, or she plays with me, or she makes really good banana pudding. But in her five-year-old little brain, she thought about it for a second and said, I love Nana because she is mine. And I thought, that is the nature of covenant love. And that's the love that God has put in our hearts for our kids. We love them because they're ours. The relationship preceded the accomplishment. Now, this doesn't mean that it's not about accomplishment, expectations, and desires to achieve. Have you ever thought about this? God the Father, in sending His Son, had expectations for Him. Right? God did have expectations for Jesus to live a perfect life and to offer Himself for the sins for His people. But in an eternity before Jesus ever took His first breath as a human, God loved Him. So that means this transmittable love comes before requirements are made. It means that a delight comes before an expected duty. A joy in them comes before a job given to them. Cultivating that, remembering that, bringing that back up is that my love for them, the disposition of my heart toward them is placed uniquely in me by God, and it has nothing to do with their performance. And so this is the way we live out the gospel and the love for God for His children. Because this is the reality that we live in, isn't it, men? That you and I, who were unable to love the Father, was loved by Him at the expense of His own Son. And when we were unable to perform anything that might please the Lord because of our bondage to sin and the darkness of our minds, He required nothing but of us but faith in the One who did it all for us. And it's in this type of love, a love that would cost God the Father His Son for you, is the same kind of love that you and I can live in and offer for our kids. So, in summary, those are the three thoughts. First, the Son felt the Father's pleasure. He felt God's heart and attitude toward Him. Secondly, the Father affirmed the Son with words. And lastly, the Son felt the Father's pleasure long before He ever obeyed Him. So, let me pray, men. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, we acknowledge together that we fall desperately short and we need Jesus. We need Jesus not only to convict of us our sins, but enable and empower us to follow after You. Particularly when it comes loving our spouses and loving our kids in a way that's beyond our ability. So meet us where we're at. teach us by your Spirit, according to your word, that we might bring more honor and glory to you in the way we love our kids. In Jesus' name, amen.